If we can bring the PowerPoint up and we'll just get started here. Lord, open your word to our hearts and let me just share it clearly and succinctly. Let me just be led by your Spirit this morning as we share about these wonderful gifts of your Spirit, the revelational gifts of your Spirit. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the revelational gifts of the Spirit, you know, what are they? Well, there are three things. They're the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. The first section of Scripture is in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Let's look at that, or verses 7 to 10. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And notice again, it's for the profit of everyone. The gifts of the Spirit are a blessing when we experience them, but they're not given to us so that we can individually be blessed, although we are. They're given for the profit of the church. And then it goes on, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." So there's nine gifts we're going to be looking at. We're going to be breaking them up into three groups. The first group is going to be the revelational gifts. Then we're going to look at the power gifts and then the speaking gifts. And we'll do that over three messages. I thought about how I could share this in a very succinct format this morning. I'm going to attempt to do this. I'm going to talk about their definition. I'm going to give you a few balancing principles to apply. I'm going to show you a biblical example, and then I'm going to finish with some personal examples. And I'm not going to waste a lot of time in between. So let's get started. You'll have some notes in your bulletin, and I will give you the words to fill in very easily. There's not much to fill in, but just a few words. First of all, what is the word of knowledge? I'm just going to define these, and then as we look at them in Scripture, and then as I share with you some stories, I think that you will get a better picture of what these gifts are. The word of knowledge is a special revelation from God of specific facts, and that's for your blank, specific facts in the mind of God who is all-knowing, things that otherwise would be unknown to man. So God knows everything, doesn't he? He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And when he wants to, he can reveal what's unknown to you and I. That is called a word of knowledge. It operates in the sphere of the past or present. It's a knowledge of things that happen in the past or in the present. And it can be received through Scripture, inward revelation, vision, dream, a dream, or tongues and interpretation. Now, I used to include prophecy in there, but I took that out because I want to know, you know, that prophecy is really distinct from this gift. And when we think of prophecy in the Old Testament sense, someone who moved in the gift of prophecy in the Old Testament was moving through the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. What we see more delineated in the New Testament with more specific definitions is what we term prophecy in the Old Testament. I think there's a problem now that so many are taking the Old Testament definition of prophecy and trying to overlay it in our life as New Testament believers. And I want to make that very clear that these things are different than just prophecy, and we're going to define New Testament prophecy in another lesson. So I hope I didn't lose you there. Word of knowledge. The second is the word of wisdom. The definition of the word of wisdom, it's a special revelation concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. What to do and what to say. So the first is facts that are otherwise unknown, specific facts. The next is God's divine purpose or will. How to implement, how to engage in what God wants to do. It operates in the sphere of the present and future. and it can be received. Now, when I'm giving you the scope of how it's received, that is from the revelation of Scripture. Could God do this in a different way? Of course he could. But I'm only giving you the areas that we see as we look at the Scriptures, and we see that God has given words of wisdom through the Scripture, through an audible voice. Surely God could give words of knowledge through an audible voice if he wanted to, through inward revelation, through visions, through dreams, through tongues and interpretations. So, word of knowledge, special revelation of specific facts, the word of wisdom, special revelation concerning God's divine purpose, what to do and what to say. Then the final one is the discerning of spirits. And the discerning of spirits, we're taking these out of order from the way they're given in verses 7 to 10 because we're grouping them together in logical groups. The discerning of spirits is special insight into the spirit world. It is a determination whether the motivational source, and that's for your blank, the motivational source of revelation or inspiration is from God, from man, or from Satan. The sphere of operation is the present, and it's received through Scripture, an inward revelation, a vision, or a dream. Now, let me say one thing about the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits, most people, when they hear about that gift, they think about discerning evil spirits or discerning something that is bad. But the discerning of spirits is not just discerning things that are bad or things that are originating from the enemy. The discerning of spirits is also the unveiling of the spiritual realm of good. And so we want to make sure that we distinguish both in those things. So those are the basic definitions. I did that pretty quickly. Now, here are some balancing principles. And we're going to, well, before we get into the Genesis scripture, let's go back and stay on that. Some balancing principles. In these revelational gifts, when God reveals things to someone for you or about you, that can make you feel a little uncomfortable, right? I mean, have you ever... Don't raise your hands, but I know I've had people walk up to me and say, you know, God told me this, and they were just kind of like way off. And I never even thought about that before or even heard about that before, and that they claimed it was a word of knowledge. Can I tell you the first balancing principle is that every time God gives someone a word of knowledge for you or you a word of knowledge for them, it's going to be a confirming word. That is the first bottom line principle. God will always have spoken to you first before he ever reveals something to someone else. He's not going to surprise you. He's not going to ambush you. And he's not going to embarrass you. God is a gentleman. And he always comes to deal with you first before he uses anyone else through a spiritual gift to speak into your life. Number two, all of these gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, they are what I talked about last week as non-resident gifts. Meaning, the Lord may, and I'll tell you some stories, the Lord may give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or he may unveil the spiritual realm for you to see in the discerning of spirits, but you don't have that ability all the time. You know, I can't walk up to Dean and just tell him something that I don't know. You know, God is saying this to you, Dean, this morning. You know, I'd be faking it unless it was a real spiritual gift. So it's not resident. It's as the Spirit wills that he moves. He distributes each one individually as he wills. I've already made this point. But let me make it a little bit clearer and more distinct. The revelational gifts are not prophecy. We'll study the New Testament gift of prophecy and see that it's something entirely different from these gifts. What we define in the Old Testament as prophecy, revelation, or the interpretation of dreams are in reality the exercise of the revelational gifts of the Spirit in operation. So the Old Testament was the Word of God concealed, and the New Testament is the Word of God revealed. In the Old Testament, we see all these pictures and types, and the New Testament is a revelation, the unveiling of all those things that were written in the Old Testament. That's why when you read and understand the New Testament, when you now then go and read the Old Testament, all of a sudden it comes alive. So I always tell a new Christian, don't start in the book of Genesis. Read the book of John. Read it several times. Then read the entire New Testament. Read that several times. And then begin to study the Old Testament, because the New Testament is the Old Testament unveiled. All that Jesus did, all that he confirmed, all that he fulfilled. All right, let's get into just simple. I've given you a bunch of scriptures in your notes, and you can study this and read all those scriptures, and I encourage you to do that. But in the time span that we have on a given Sunday morning on this type of format, what I want to do is just start out with one verse. And the first one I want to do is Genesis 41, 14 to 16. And I'm not going to read the verse, it's up there behind the screen, but you know the story of Joseph and Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh had a dream, and he had a dream about seven good cows and seven sickly cows, and seven good heads of grain and seven sickly heads of grain. And no one could interpret this dream to Pharaoh. So, first of all, we see the operation of the word of knowledge in Joseph's life. God revealed to Joseph the interpretation of the dream Pharaoh had. God has shown to Pharaoh, this is what Joseph said, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. So that was an unveiling of events that were going to take place that Joseph had no way of knowing. And when they brought Joseph to Pharaoh, it's very important. He said, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Notice, these are non-resident gifts. He said, it is not in me to answer you, but God himself will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so he gave him the interpretation. There was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. The seven healthy cattle were 7 years of plenty. The seven sickly cattle were 7 years of famine. The seven healthy heads of grain were 7 years of plenty. The seven sickly heads of grain were 7 years of famine. The sickly cows ate the good cows. The weak and sickly grain ate the good grain. And so that was a word of knowledge. Now the word of wisdom comes into play with God didn't stop there. Can you imagine if that was all he did for the Pharaoh, it wouldn't have helped him much. But God not only gave Joseph a word of knowledge, but he also gave him a word of wisdom. And this is the word of wisdom. In Genesis 41, verses 33 to 36, we read this. It says, and I want to read this. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. Let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Now God, through Joseph, gave Pharaoh the blueprint of how to save his nation. And not only how to save his nation, but listen, God also used that word of wisdom to save his chosen people. Because if you remember, it was only because of the famine that Joseph's brothers came to Pharaoh to seek grain. And it was only because of the famine that Joseph was reunited with his brothers. And it was only because of the famine that God brought the whole tribe of Israel, Jacob and his 11 sons, to Egypt, where they became a great and mighty nation. So God, through a word of knowledge and through a word of wisdom. Well, how is this practical? I mean, how can God use you in this? I want to tell you a story about a couple. that are in their 70s. Their names are Buff and Lana Ness. And Buff and Lana were a pastoral couple that began pastoring the Four Square Church in Hamlin, Texas. Hamlin is just a little town out in West Texas. There was a bunch of churches that were planted years ago in West Texas, and there's still those little churches going. And Buff and Lana were in their 60s. Lana had been married to a pastor all of her life. Her husband passed away. She met then Buff, and they married. And the Lord called them to go to this little church in Hamlin, Texas. Well, they went there, and they revitalized the church. They built a new building, and God's favor was really upon them. They were a dear couple. I knew them, got to know them. Did you get to know Buff and Lana, Terry? And got to know them in district meetings and area meetings, and shared a lot of fellowship with Buff and Lana. They decided to retire. I mean, everybody, yeah, that's good. I mean, they had a dream of moving to Branson, Missouri. And so they moved to Branson, Missouri. They left the church. They replaced the pastoral couple. They moved to Branson, Missouri. And they were there. And I don't even know how this all got orchestrated. I don't remember where, to be honest, sometimes you don't remember all the little details. I don't know if it was a district conference or it was at national convention. But there was Buff and Lana. And I remember worshiping. I was sitting off to the side behind them, and I just had this word from God. I don't even remember what the word fully was. But it was about something in their life that they were struggling with, and I had no way of knowing anything. I just went up to them at the end of worship, and I just said, can I say you can do this? You don't have to be like authoritative when you're sharing what you think might be a word from the Lord, because what if you're wrong? I mean, we prophesy in part, we know in part. Come on, give yourself, some space and give God some space. I just went, I said, Buff, Lana, I said, I don't really know if this is from the Lord or not, but the Lord just showed me this in your life, that you're struggling with these thoughts and these decisions. And I went through what I shared, and I just said, they said, thank you, left. And that was it. I mean, they didn't say anything that was earth-breaking or earth-shattering. A couple years later, I saw them. And I said, Buff and Lana, how are you doing? And they said, oh, we're leaving for the mission field. Leaving for the mission field. And they said, yes, a couple years back when you had that word from the Lord and you came and you shared it to us, they said, God began to deal with us. It was exactly what we needed because we were wrestling with our retirement. You see, God didn't call them to retire. They wanted to retire, but that wasn't God's will for them. And can I tell you that today, Buff and Lana Ness, pastor in Salinas, Ecuador, the church on the beach. Now, I'm not saying I'm responsible for that, but what I'm telling you is that what sometimes a word of knowledge can do. If we're obedient when God gives us that word. The church on the beach. I know. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Brian says, give me a word, Kirk. As long as it's got something to do with the beach, hallelujah, praise God. Then, Steve Bontrager, my dear friend Steve Bontrager. And Steve and I were out to lunch, and this was several years back, and we were having lunch, and I just knew it was the Lord. There's something was welling up inside of me, and he was struggling because he had pastored a church for 30 plus years, and yet God had called him to finish his doctorate in biblical studies and pastoral ministry, and he was concerned about his church, and he was concerned about finishing his education. And when he would talk about the church, it was with great concern, but it was with no joy. It was almost like, there was just like God had already transitioned Steve in his heart, and he didn't realize it. And so God just gave me a word of wisdom for Steve. And he would tell you this, that I spoke to that in his life. And I said, the Lord is calling you to take that next step in your life. And this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to concentrate on. And God will bless you in that, and God did. God helped him transition. I mean, let him. There's a new pastor there at the church. Steve graduated just a few weeks ago. He had one of those funky hats on, you know, with the robes and everything. And now he's teaching at the King Seminary in Grapevine. And he's also writing. He's taking the sermons of Pastor Robert Morris, and he's turning them into educational handbooks and studies for Pastor Robert Morris. See, a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom can change people's lives. One more personal example of that is that years ago in San Antonio, Texas, and you'll forgive me if I just go a few minutes over this morning. It's not yet 12, but I'm going to be watching the time very carefully, but I want to just say a few more things. The Lord had been calling me back into pastoral ministry, and I had been really wrestling. Am I hearing from God? And Karen and I were praying over it, and out of the blue, a couple that we knew from Melody Land School of Theology came out to visit us. I've mentioned this story before, but when we went to Chester's Hamburgers in San Antonio, and of course we were having hamburgers, and we were sitting around the table having a hamburger, she just pointed her finger out to me and she said, "The Lord has told me all the way here," they came from Wichita, Kansas, "you need to go back into pastoral ministry." You see, that was a word of wisdom. And it was a confirming word to what God had already, out of the blue, hadn't talked to them about anything. They knew nothing about what I was struggling with or thinking about. God wants to do things in our lives. Okay, discerning of spirits. There are two examples that we want to look at. The first one is in Acts 6. Or actually, the first one is the one in good. This thing is clicking too fast. It's my thumb. 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17. Remember I told you that the discerning of spirits can be a revelation of spiritual realities, both in the good and in the bad. You know the story about the young assistant to Elisha. And there he was, and he was worried. He saw all of a sudden the enemy's horses and chariots coming. And he said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And then Elijah said, "Fear not." And he said, "Lord, will you open his eyes so he can see the spiritual reality?" And Elisha said, the people who are with us are far more numerous than those who are with them. And all of a sudden, God opened this young man's eyes, and what did he see? He saw, oh man, he saw chariots of fire. He saw horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That is a discerning of spirits, folks. The unveiling of the spirit realm, whether good or evil. You know, if God unveiled that to us right now, the spiritual reality of what we are experiencing right now in worship, we would see the host of heaven's armies. We would see angels all around us. We can't see that all the time, but sometimes God gives us glimpses. We know when it's the Lord. We know when it's the Lord. The second example is a very unique example, and that's with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was preaching, and there was this girl who was possessed of a spirit of divination. Now, she was possessed, but I don't think Paul got that at first, because it said he preached, and she kept yelling out, "These are the men of the Most High God. They're speaking the truth of the Most High God." Now, that's probably a good thing to say, right? It is. That wasn't evil. And it says that Paul went out preaching, and for days went by, and this girl kept yelling this over and over again. All of a sudden, the Lord opened up Paul's eyes with a gift of discernment of spirits, and he realized that that girl wasn't just cheering him on anymore. She was trying to disrupt his ministry, and she was possessed by an evil spirit. And he commanded that spirit to come out in the name of Jesus, and it did. But note that on his own, he didn't catch it. It says, "This she did for many days." We don't always get it. We don't, without the spiritual gifts, without these wonderful revealing gifts of God, sometimes we're just knocking around in the dark. And God wants to help us to walk in the light. I want to tell you, it's great protection. Let me give you two quick examples. The first one is called the creepy house. When we were moving out to Weatherford, we were looking for a home that would both take myself and my family and my mother, because she was going to move out with us, and we were looking for a home that could accommodate us all. And so that was on our prerequisite. We weren't able to find one, and everything else worked out as it would be. But this one home we came to was up in kind of a country area, and it was this beautiful white home. We drove up to it. It had this circular driveway. I mean, with our budget, we had a budget. You ever watch HGTV and they have a budget? You know, we had a budget, and it wasn't that big of a budget. And so when we saw this home, and it was set back and it had this circular driveway, and then we saw that it had horse stables. I mean, we don't even have horses, but think about this, guys. It had horse stables, all of you Texas horse people. And then it had this wonderful, beautiful white mother-in-law cottage on it. And we walked in, and it was move-in ready. I mean, it was modern. It was beautiful. It was our price. We couldn't believe it. It was under these beautiful oak trees, and Karen and I looked at each other, and we went, and Hannah went, I mean, you know, so we're walking through the house, and we're looking at the house and everything, and then we don't talk the rest of the way. We're just like looking at it, kind of stunned, and then we get in the car, and the realtor's in her own car, and we get in the car, and I said, what'd you think about that house, Karen? She said, well, golly, I can't believe it, but it was creepy. I said, what do you mean? She says, there was just this heaviness in this house. And Hannah goes, you felt that too, Mom? That was creepy. That house was creepy. I said, what was creepy about it? And then I had to admit, I felt it too. There was this spiritual awareness, and I don't know what it is. To this day, we don't know what it is. And we can't even find the house anymore. Maybe we were dreaming. I don't know. I don't think so. Because we all talk about it. And it's a memory in our family, the creepy house. But God gave us this inner discernment. No. Even though it was perfect, even though it was beautiful, even though it was the right amount of money, it was to us the creepy house. And it was a no. Discerning of spirits. Another quick example of that I want to call is that throughout the years, and this doesn't apply to anyone sitting in here, but throughout the years, we've had people who have come to the church, very gifted people, very talented people, but they had a different motive in their heart than becoming a blessing to the congregation. They were looking for a platform just to showcase their gifts. And the Lord has given me discernment in that over the years. That's one of the reasons why we have a cross track. That's one of the reasons why we have people go through a class and say that they believe God's calling them to plant them here. That's one of the reasons why you have to be a member to be involved in teaching or a ministry position in the church. Because it's really a firewall, folks. It gives us time to know people and to really know their hearts. I want to tell you one thing about our worship team, about everyone on it, from Eddie, our leader, all the way to everyone who sits on this. There's no one here on our worship team who's here to showcase their talents. We have some of the most talented musicians around. But they're here to worship God and to serve you and to serve you. And Eddie and I have met, we've talked, we've prayed sometimes years ago. We've faced some really, almost like, and it's in the worship team many times it happens, almost like the enemy's trying to get inside to destroy that wonderful spirit of worship and servanthood that we have. And God gives a discerning of spirits. Many times we don't always know exactly what it is, but we know that something's not right. And we've had that protection has been there. It has given us protection in in things when raising our daughter, and this gift is so important. So here's concluding thoughts this morning. I want to give you three concluding thoughts. And worship team, come on up one song. We're going to close with one song this morning. So Eddie, pick the one that you feel the Lord is calling you to pick. Many times, you and I can be operating in the revelational gifts of the Spirit and not even know it. You know, when you have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody, or God gives you the discerning of spirits, it's not always, I've got the word of the Lord now for you. It's just, you're talking with someone, the Holy Spirit's moving through you, and you say something that is a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or he just checks you and you don't even really recognize it until later, but he's giving you and moving in your life with those gifts very naturally. Can I tell you, that's the way it should be? It shouldn't be this big emotional religious show. Oh, the word of knowledge is upon me, Eddie. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be that. It should just be something welling up inside of you. You just feel this fire like Jeremiah felt in his bosom, and you've got to say something. And I always say, and people, you know this is true, everyone here, I'll say, I think the Lord is saying this, but you test it. 10 years ago, I met with this, I call him young man because he's a little bit younger than me. Not much. But, and his wife's catching up to me too, so I don't know what's going on. But 10 years ago, I said, Eddie, you know, let's have a breakfast. And when we had breakfast, I said, you know, God spoke to me. I was driving home from conference, and I was praying and saying, because back then I was leading worship, I was preaching, I was janitor, I was doing everything. And I said, you know, I believe God is calling you to be our worship leader. And that was like, that was a word of wisdom for you. And it took a while. You wrestle with that for quite a while. I think you've gotten comfortable in that skin now, But yet it was a word, because the Lord gave me actually a vision of the clouds actually did part and the sun did shine down. I'm not kidding you. I'm driving and I'm praying over this. All of a sudden the physical clouds moved and the sun just shot right down, and I heard this in my heart from the Lord. You already have a worship leader. I'm going, Lord, would you send us a worship leader? And I felt, Lord, you already have a worship leader. And I said, who is it, Lord? It's Eddie. Talk to him. God will use these gifts very naturally in our lives. Number two, these gifts are not to criticize or tear down. They're to confirm, they're to guide, they're to protect, and they're to build up. There is no, this is for your notes, and if you're taking notes, fill this one in. There is no such thing as the spiritual gift of criticism. These gifts are for the profit of all. It doesn't say for the picking apart of all. And some people misunderstand the discerning of spirits, and they use it as a gift of criticism. That's not the discerning of spirits, folks. That's a cantankerous, bitter person who's seen everyone through their own dirty lenses. Okay? Number three. This is the thing that I love the most. These gifts are not for the TV evangelist. They're not for the pastor. They're not for the worship leader. They're for you. They're for you. God, think about this. How exciting this can be. That God can use any one of you at any moment, at any time, if you place yourself and make yourself available to bring a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, to open up in the understanding of the spiritual realm to help someone or to even help yourself. At any moment, any time, as the Spirit wills, you can move in these wonderful gifts. All of the gifts, you can move in them. Some of you are in the medical profession. Some of you Brother Leo works, you know, as a fireman. God can give you words of knowledge and words of wisdom as you rush to the aid of a person, a condition that you may not even know it, but God can reveal it to you to save their life. They're powerful gifts, and we should all hunger and thirst for God to use us in them. Let's stand as we close.
Lord, I confess how in Thee I find my rest. Without You, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need.
Morning. If you're here this morning and you say, I want to let God use me. I want to become a vessel of these gifts of His Spirit. Maybe you've never moved in these gifts before. Maybe you're just proficient and God has used you many times. Or maybe there are things that you've experienced in your lives in the past, but they've kind of just become dormant in your life. And you're saying, you know, I want more of You, Lord. I want to be an instrument that is used of You to touch and to build up and to guide and to help people. Oh, use me by giving me words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Give me the discerning of spirits that I might know the realities of the spiritual realm around me in the moments of my need. If you want and hunger for more of that in your life, just raise your hand up to the Lord right now. Not for me. I'm not even opening my eyes right now. Just say to the Lord, Lord, see my hand. Use me. Let me be that vessel. Help me touch someone's life in such a way that it changes their direction. It leads them into your fullness. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, all you need to do is come up to myself or one of these worship team members and just say, you know, Pastor Kirk, Eddie, Chuck, Dan, anyone up here, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord, and we'll pray with you. God wants you so much. He wants to love you so much. He has so many good things for you. Father, bless your people, we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you shalom, the peace of God in your life. You're dismissed this wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Remember those who have given their lives so that you might freely enjoy your day. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great, great day.